Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We got to wait another day, and that day is today, for Caglione to get another opportunity to get his first big league hit. We got a doubleheader today. The rain, obviously, severe enough yesterday for it to get washed out. So Royals, Cardinals for two today. First game at 12:45. So we'll hand things off to Vern at 11:30 here on a Thursday.
That's fine with me. I love a little day game baseball.
Do you?
Plus, I don't know what it is. Like, for sleep with me, it's a lot like working out or a hangover or those things, which is... the second day always catches me worse. Yesterday, despite the fact I was on like 3 hours of sleep, I actually felt okay. Went to bed at the normal time, didn't take a nap in the afternoon, Goal, despite our middle of the night ride back from St. Louis. Just treated it like a normal day. Drank a coffee in the afternoon, mostly felt fine. This morning felt more like Now
see,
I'm tired. Now I'm like, the alarm hurt.
I feel
a little bit worse this morning.
I feel great today.
What time did you go to bed?
So I ended up watching the end of the hockey game last night. But you can ask Dusty this. I was texting him. We were looking at some nerding out on some card stuff, and we were in the middle of a card break. And I'm not kidding. I fell asleep. I didn't know, on the couch with the phone in my lap. And because Dusty, you can ask Dusty. Because Dusty's like, oh, what did you think of these cards? And I'm like, I never saw. I woke up to his text. I think I nodded out for like 25 minutes randomly
Bryce
on the couch.
Harper one was sick.
I never saw it. So that's that. Maybe I got a little nap in yesterday. But I feel good today. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't know it was called getting banged, by the way, in baseball.
It's both.
Banged.
So I said, oh, the game got canned. And he's like, no, I think the term is banged. And I go,
canned is more for firing. In baseball, I agree with Dusty. I think people more commonly say banged.
I thought Dusty was just saying bang because Dusty tends to lean towards the more sexual related terms. So I thought that's why I think that's why Dusty was going.
Flanagan sighting out there yesterday. I was like, Jeffrey Flanagan. Yeah,
I think both are correct, by the way, because we actually looked it up. So both actually account for the same thing. But anyway, yes, the game got canned and banged, whatever, yesterday.
I don't know. When you say them together, then
said no secrets about Omaha.
That's a whole... that comes into a whole different line of thinking, it feels like, at least on
someone says, today's games look dicey. I don't know. I haven't checked the weather report. All I know is we're handing things off to Vern at 11:30. Whatever happens after that happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just as long as they don't change their mind here in the next few minutes, I would say we're mostly fine.
We have a surprise at some point today, because yesterday towards the end of the show, Drew randomly told us that he makes his own beats. We're like, what do you mean? He makes his own beats. He also... gave us a gift towards the end of the show as well, and informed us that, well...
I wanted the beat machine.
He wanted one of those.
I wanted the beat machine.
And he has sent us a couple of those today. I have not heard them. Those will get played.
I haven't heard them either.
He's going to use it as our bumper music at some point today.
Coming back at 10:30 and 11.
Okay. Out of curiosity, did you make a new beat or did you go back into the vault?
I went back in the vault.
Did you go find some previously made beats?
Are these high school Drew Nixon beats or Drew Nixon beats?
There's some from college. There's one that I made, I think, actually, that I use as the outro for the podcast. So if you guys listen to the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, the outro is one of the ones.
All right. So we'll be listening.
I'm going to freestyle over the top.
I'm going to need you to freestyle over the top.
Oh my goodness.
That's how we're going to treat a day game today. Drew's going to play his beats and I'm going to freestyle over the top of them, you know?
Okay.
About Jack Caglione.
So we'll talk some Royals baseball in just a bit. Something that Josh Vernier told us yesterday when he joined us about the current era we are living in with the Royals. We thought it was very interesting. Want to talk about that in just a bit. But news late overnight, initially I saw from Matt Evans, who has been covering the stadium front in Jefferson City and what's going on with the Missouri legislature. We all know, right? They're in a special session.
Yeah.
And things seemed to change yesterday afternoon when the governor expanded the call of the special session to allow some other things to be attached to this and maybe to alleviate some of the concerns by those that are in the Missouri Senate. It was good enough to get the funding bill for the stadiums passed out of the Senate yesterday. It now goes back to the House. We shall see if the House is good with it. They were good with the stadium portion last go around, but now it's attached to other things. We'll see. The expectations, it sounds like, is that it'll get out of the House and eventually go to the governor's desk, but nothing is a sure thing when it comes to this. But this was a great step forward, though, if you are someone that is a favor of keeping the teams in Missouri. You need the stadium bill to have a shot. And this was a big step in the right direction. The bill would fund up to 50% of potentially the renovation for Arrowhead or a new stadium for the Royals. So it's not a done deal yet that the bill is going to be sent to the governor's desk. But according to Matt Evans last night, I think it was 19 votes. They need 18. They got 19 votes out of the Senate. So that was the big hurdle that they needed to get over.
That was really, and so narrowly passed is probably putting it mildly, I think, when I saw the headline. Narrowly passed is probably a generous way to consider the way that they got it, but they got it done. And everybody thinks it's going to pass the other side, like you said, Colt. So I guess Missouri's back in the game. Look, they had to get this done. And that's really what this kind of boils down to, is they didn't really have much of a choice if they were going to get this done and retain at least one of the teams. The one I think this means more for is for the Royals. Because I think that the Royals are at least the team, and maybe the Chiefs are too, because you mentioned the renovation and maybe he wants that instead. Is like, I think the Royals would still entertain the idea of, we'll take less money if that means we get the thing that we want the most, which in your and I's opinion was downtown baseball or near downtown baseball. I guess the question is, if they own the land in Jackson County, can they just say, hey, we don't care about Jackson County's money anymore. We're not asking for any tax incentives. Missouri gave us what we want. We're just going to use that money there. If you guys want to give us money down the road, we'll talk later, but it's not about you anymore. It's just about the Missouri. Because there's still teams that might want to double dip, right? Let's say the Royals want to go to Clay County. They could still ask Clay for additional funding to go for the stadium, couldn't they?
Well, I think with either of these projects, there still has to be local money that comes in. This is the big portion is the state money, but whether we're talking the Chiefs renovation, they're still going to have to get some money from Jackson County. The Royals, if they chose a downtown site, maybe they could bypass the county, but they would still need some sort of incentives from the city of Kansas City, Missouri. So
do you think so? You don't think they just take the Missouri money and go where they want to go?
I don't think so.
Did they get asked for less? Maybe it's a,
maybe so. I don't think 50% of that. We know it's not a 50-50 proposition though. You know, like they're getting funding up to 50% of the stadium cost under this bill if it gets out of the passes through the House. So I think there has to still be some local money that comes in for these to work. But the state part was a huge hurdle, and it looks like they're on track to get a funding bill done now that it's out of the Senate.
What percentage chance do you put? Do you still feel like it ends up being Chiefs? What's everyone's lean? Let's not talk percentage chance. Now that we think there's a really good chance Missouri is going to pass some funding for the Royals and Chiefs to try to stay in their state to either renovate or build new stadiums outside of that, what's our lean on which way both teams are headed? Well, obviously, they both have threatened Kansas in the last 7 days. Missouri with the 119th site mentioning that they bought out the mortgages.
The Royals,
at the 119th site where they bought out the thing. And then the Chiefs, obviously, talking about the dome stadium aspect and all the Nate Taylor reporting. late last week as well. So they both have threatened Kansas in the last week.
Yeah, it depends. What do you believe? You know, do you truly believe that Clark Hunt has come around on the idea of a dome, as in a new stadium? Or was that used heading into this session? Because we know for a while the talk was always that he preferred a renovated site.
I think there's a lot of truth.
So
to
has
that.
He come around on it, or is it just that he understood the reality of the situation from the business side of it, that a new stadium provides them some more opportunities? Yeah, that's something I don't have the firm answer to. I'll just go back to 2 years ago when everybody at that point in time, I think, you know, had their own opinion on what it would be. And the thought, I think, on this show 2 years ago was, all right, one team stays in Missouri, the Royals. One team goes to Kansas,
the
Chiefs. Missouri, if they pass the stadium bill, that gives them an opportunity, I think, to at least keep one of the teams.
I think that, yeah, I would still lean 1-1, mostly for the same reason. Like, honestly, I kind of like 1-1 gold. I still like the Royals in Missouri and the Chiefs in Kansas for the same reason. For the people who, going back to the initial thought, not one we hit home all the time, because we also just come to this reality of, I don't think we have to blindly accept life as it is, but it's like fighting against the machine that is local taxpayer paying for, you know, funding billionaire stadiums. Once I get past that hurdle, the idea that at the very least, if I accept that on its premise, that is a thing that is going to happen. Yeah. I don't have to like it, but a thing that is going to happen, spreading out the tax burden between both sides of the state line is appealing to me. That not just Missouri taxpayers, that not just Kansas taxpayers, that not just Jackson or Clay or Platt or Wyandotte or wherever, you know, like any of them, or Johnson is stuck with the bill themselves, appeals to me. Well, then great. I like the idea that one would end up. I still lean, and I still, like, I can't get past the fact that even more than I think Clark wants a renovation, shifting from I want downtown baseball from the day he bought the Kansas City Royals. So for 5 years, he's been sitting on this I want downtown baseball the second he purchased the major league team. It's hard for me to imagine that he shifted off of that. And that if Missouri's going to pony up the dough, he'll figure out a way to get the, maybe there's the hidden city funding mechanisms that Quentin Lucas has spoken, I would say, vaguely
about.
But
I think that's what's required to make it happen. I still think the local money has to be there for it to work. It's not just that the stadium funding bill in the state level is a huge chunk of it, but it's not, there still is a requirement. I think it even is mentioned, not only from some of the reporting, but even, you know, the lawmakers have spoken publicly. I mean, I also saw a quote from one of the Chiefs lobbyists, like acknowledging that, like, they will still need local support as well. And I know in this perfect world, they wouldn't need that. They should just take care of it themselves. But that, we all know that's not how this works.
Yeah, that always comes back to the same thing. It is a big step for Missouri. I don't want to pretend like it's not, because you and I had both said, and in fairness, I've been very critical of Missouri's ability to pass any of this. And while it passed by a vote, singular, or they cleared it by two, I guess. They needed 16.
They needed 18.
They needed 18, and they got 19, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. So they, by the hair on their chinny chin chin, they scraped this thing by. They did actually pass it. They scrounged up enough people to move it to the next step. I'll give them credit for doing so. It was 2:30 in the morning, I believe, when they actually finally came to an agreement.
Well, they were filibustering for about 4 hours or whatever it was last night.
I guess that's the next thing Missouri needs to tackle. Get rid of the filibuster. This thing's dragging things out. Do you guys want to work till 2:30 in the morning? This is nuts.
That's a whole nother thing. I mean, some of that went on during the sports betting stuff when it was in the legislature as well. But
were you watching Missouri filibusters during that run?
Back when it was involving sports betting, I was not up till 2 a.m. watching stadium stuff. I haven't been following the stadium stuff in terms of the legislature watching that. When it was sports betting stuff, I don't know, that was kind of my thing at the time. Yeah. As far as where they go from here, we'll keep an eye on it. For those just wondering what's the next step, it has to pass out of the House. And if it does that, then it would go to the governor's desk and they move forward. If there's some disagreement on some of the other things that are attached to the stadium bill, then you go into, like, they have like the reconciliation committees. You get in with the Senate and they try to iron things out. So we'll see what happens.
But I mean, again, the House is always the less big problem from a public perception of what people thought would be less of a problem, at least on that end. So we'll see. It's still big news. It's big news for Missouri. If you want the teams to, if you're the guy who keeps texting Alex and be like, Kansas isn't Kansas City, losers. If you're that guy, I'm sure you're thrilled last night that this took place. I made it very clear. It does seem, it's so funny because, like, we're a really good dichotomy, Gold. You have spent your entire life living in Kansas. I have spent my entire life living in Missouri. Now, look, I got closer to living in Kansas than you ever have living in Missouri, as in I looked at houses in Kansas. So, like, I considered it.
Yeah.
At some point, you dated a girl in Missouri is about as close as you've gotten to true. Living in yeah. Missouri. Uh-huh. That's about as close as you got.
Yeah.
But you also attended all these games and have made it perfectly clear. It's never been a problem for you to, you know, spend your money
yeah,
on the other side of the state line,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Forever, I've spent money in Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium and T-Mobile Center, et cetera, for sporting events. But I get it. People are passionate, obviously, about this. People are also just wanting this to get figured out. And I still think it's going to happen this month. I think we're going to have a very good idea this month because yeah. of what's happening in the Senate or in the legislature. And then at the end of the month, we know the star bonds expire on the Kansas side.
I'll be honest, based on some of the stuff I'd heard before and the progression of this, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this month, like July 1 or June 3rd, whatever, that we see a rendering for a stadium from either the Royals or the Chiefs. As yeah, in, like, those are things they have internal. And once and this would be the biggest hurdle, I think, from the funding perspective. I actually think they'd be comfortable being like, here's what the downtown stadium at Washington Square Park is going to look like according to the Royals if they get at least half of this funding figured out. And then they will do we'll get the rest. We know we need the rest of the money, but we'll get the rest of the money now up above board. Everyone can see it. But here's where we're putting the stadium. This is what it's going to look like, and here's our proposed timeline.
Yeah, and it's why last April, when the vote failed, the biggest winners that night after their egos were hurt a little bit with the embarrassing vote, yeah. the biggest winners were the teams because they were able to leverage both Kansas and Missouri. And look what they have on the table, potentially, if the stadium bill passes in the Missouri House. They have the 70%+ or whatever it is of funding through star bonds on Kansas. And now they have 50%+ of that, 50% or so of a project funding available, it looks like, if it passes for Missouri. Those are better options than what they had last April.
I know.
That's what's amazing about the whole thing.
And the project is $400 million more. So, like, not only are they getting a higher percentage, they're just getting more money from both.
Isn't it, though, like, doesn't it ultimately come down to the rendering in itself in the first place? Like, Missouri can get all of it, and then Missouri comes out with the rendering. And if the rendering's not good enough, like, ultimately, I think...
Well, it may not need a public vote.
So they're just saying
and in Kansas, you don't need a public vote at all anymore.
Now, I still assume they, like, if they took the 70% from Kansas, you don't think they try to double-dip the county, too? You don't think that they try to?
They don't need to.
Yeah, I guess. Because they just create the star bond in the county, essentially, correct. When you spend the money in there, pays for it. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they would not need a vote in Kansas.
They're going to want, now that Kansas has given them the 70%, they're going to want the 20% from the county. But also 20% from the county, Gold, is it's more money from the state. It hypothetically is less than the 3/8 cents they were asking for before. It could be less of a county burden than it was before. And look, Jackson still has got their own issues. And all this stuff, and they're still raising people's property taxes, even though they got told they have to cap it, and all this other stuff. And so there's a lot going on there, not to even mention what's been going on with members of the council over on that end over the last 48 to 72 hours. And so there's just a lot going on, at least on that end. But that was a big step. That was a huge step for Missouri's opportunity. Now I'm no longer worried, Gold. I'll say if this passes, and I feel like it will now, I am no longer worried Missouri will lose both. Is that how you feel after last night? After last night, I no longer think Missouri is going to have neither team. I think this was a good step forward and a 80% chance now or 70% chance now. Missouri's keeping either the Chiefs or keeping the Royals. That's what kind of makes it a bit of a difference than it was a year before. I will say Vern was on our show yesterday and he said something and I didn't want to get into it yet because it was like 12:30 and I wanted to think about it for a little bit rather than just have kind of the knee-jerk reaction. Vernon said yesterday, Cavs were getting called up, everybody was riding high, the Royals pitching staff was going great, and he said he felt like we were getting ready to enter another, and he used this phrase, golden era of Royals baseball. And I didn't want that to be my immediate reaction. Do I feel that? Because my immediate thought was, I don't know. I've watched a golden era of Royals baseball. I was 14 and 15. I wasn't alive for the 70s and 80s era. I'm guessing that was a golden era of Royals baseball just based on the success they were having. And a World Series title in the middle of the 80s, so okay. And the golden era lasted such a short period of time in 14 and 15. I was like, I was hesitant. And then I thought more about it, and I'm like, oh, I actually think he's right. It in the sense that it feels like that's what's getting ready to happen. We're not there yet, but that's what it feels like this is building up to. Generational superstar, under contract with your team, pitching that works, a system that is developing. You just called up another maybe potential star in Jack Caglione. likable players, great major league players, really good major league players, whatever, and Vinny and others across the board, I actually kind of feel like he might be right. That what it feels like is the momentum is carrying us towards this, but it's going to take multiple playoff runs over multiple seasons. And the question is, can you have like an era like that of baseball without a championship? And in Kansas City, yeah. Because the Royals in 14 and 15 in 85 and the Chiefs' recent run, I don't think anybody would be calling a golden era anything unless the Royals win a World Series. Even if they made what, even if they made the playoffs four times in 6 years, that'd be what, the best run they've ever had as a franchise? Would that work without a World Series?
I think with where sports fans are at in Kansas City, you guys tell me if I'm off on this, 913-586-7965. But I think because of the championships the Chiefs have won over the last decade, because of the championship the Royals won back in 2015, I think in Kansas City as sports fans, I don't believe a golden era exists for either team without titles being linked to them. Now, I totally get what Vern means. We could have a lineup here that has a superstar in Bobby Witt, a star hopefully in Caglione, coupled with maybe an organization that has figured out this whole pitching thing. And if it means they go to multiple, let's call it 3 and 5 years, 3 and 6 years playoff appearances, and one includes a run to an ALCS or something like that, then maybe that would be better than what they have typically done. But I wonder now, as sports fans in Kansas City, I think it's about championships. Like, every city is about championships, but I think now we're spoiled to the point where in 2014, prior to winning a championship for the Royals or the Chiefs, at that point in our lifetime at least, you maybe were like, just get me to that Super Bowl or just get me to that World Series. I think now championships are where people grade them, fair or not. And so I wonder if some people would say it's not the golden era unless you have a championship attached to it. Now, could that be an American League championship? Is that good enough?
I don't know.
I would say if you told me
they made the playoffs four out of 6 years, it sure as hell is.
And they went to a World Series? Yeah.
I've never seen them, because in looking back at 14 and 15 and 13 and 16, where they were competitive teams but didn't make the playoffs, certainly too, outside of that, gold, I look back at that like it's a fever dream more than a gold. Like, even that one's hard to say golden era, because it was a 2 year run of just felt like a not a blip, but like it didn't last long enough. It does feel like a lot of the things are in place right now for you to start thinking the Royals are getting ready to enter one of their most competitive stretches of baseball we've seen in their franchise's history. Mm-hmm. Going back to the 70s or 80s, when they were perennial teams, they were one of the highest spending teams, and they consistently competed. Because if Jack is anywhere close to the level of prospect that he is, well, you're going to have Jack and Bobby in a lineup together for the next 5 years at least. And you'll have Vinny in the lineup, assuming he's on the roster, for another 4 years at least. And the pitching development seems like it's taken this big leap. It's starting to feel like you might have a couple years of Salvi, whatever. Starting to feel like you're going to start knowing a lot of these guys, and everyone in baseball is going to know a lot of these guys, and you're going to go through a run.
It's just whether or not people in Kansas City separate the Chiefs and Royals in terms of how you judge them in terms of their era. Right now, forever in the NFL, and because of what the Chiefs have done in Kansas City, it is always going to be Super Bowl. Someone on the text line says, hey, golden era, you add golden to it, it means rings. It means championships. And I get that point.
I definitely get that.
We got a few people on the other side of it that says, hey, look at the Braves from the 90s, all those division titles, championship series appearances, but they did have that one championship. Someone else says Chiefs and Royals are separate. Royals have lower standards. I'd be happy with multi-year playoff runs. And not everybody feels that way, but I was curious just how everybody's viewing this, because I would say in the economics of baseball, challenging it is to win as a small market team, and what the Royals did, still no other small market team has done back in 2015, it shows you how difficult it is. You all, of course, want a World Series championship, of course. But if they went to the playoffs over the next decade, including last year, let's include last year from that year one of that for another 9 years, including this year now too, and they went to the postseason 5 years,
I would kind of feel like I was in one of the best years of Royals baseball I've ever seen.
Even if they didn't win a championship, yeah absolutely,
that,
it would
be. That's where it's tough, because, and again, some of it is just the selfishness now that has been created by the Chiefs. I mean, truthfully, created by the Chiefs. We are used to rings. And the last Royals run, where they got hot for a couple of years, they cashed in with a championship. I tell you what, I don't think anybody would even hesitate to say Golden Era if the Royals team didn't win in the World Series in that 14-15 run. Let's say they just lost in the World Series both years, or lost in the 15 run. It stopped in the Houston series. They went to the World Series the year before that. They lost in the Houston series. Ball doesn't go off Correa, butterfly effect, and everything else is exactly the same in the world. You'd be thinking that they were getting ready to enter their second best era in baseball without it. That World Series does change it, and then all the Super Bowls after. But I mean, I will take sustained success, because at least then you have a chance.
Yeah.
At least there's a belief.
I think, though, we know, like, we can say it now as we sit, you know, in June of 2025. But if we fast forward to June or opening day 2027, and this team has had multiple playoff appearances, but they were exiting in the divisional round or wild card round or whatever. Like, heck, even after this year, let's say the Royals make the playoffs and they lose in the divisional round again. Let's say that's the scenario plays out that way. Next year, I'm sure we will, and others will also say, well, that's all right. That's not good enough. Now, what's the next step? Like, there's always going to be a new bar that is put out there in front of sports teams and as fans and expectations. So I think it's easy for us to say, I'm good with this. But after you come up short and taste the postseason a couple years in a row, then you're saying, all right, the divisional round is cool and all. I've seen that for 2 years. Yeah. Then you're going to say, well, how about an ALCS? How about a World Series appear? That's what we do.
That's what
fandom is about. And I think as organizations, you're always pushing yourself forward as well. So it's weird. You know, in the moment, I think people say they're fine with it. But then when you've tasted it, I think you change a little bit.
Yeah. Would an AL pennant be enough to call it that if they went to the playoffs 4 of 6 years, you know, with Bobby Witt Jr., with Jack Caglione, with Vinny Pasquantino, with these guys whose names you want to remember. But yeah, playoff success.
Playoff sex.
That's different. That's what all those babies are born after. Playoff success comes with a lot of different requirements for the era. The golden era part of it, I really do, Gold. I'm with you. I think it kind of comes with a ring, but you can't even get to that conversation unless you're competitive every year. That's the whole other part of it.
You're saying you're hoping, I think you were alluding to, with the potential of a lot of Jack babies, lot of babies named Jack being born.
There was a World Series victory. Do you know how many news stories?
There was definitely a joke right there that I don't think we can say on air, but it was just right there. Mm-hmm. It was right.
The number of, you remember this, local news stories, Gold, that existed after
Yes, it was a real thing. Uh-huh. People were naming their kid, after the Chiefs, people were naming their kid Patrick, too, a little bit.
Playoff sex is very much a real thing.
Yes.
Not what I was talking about for the point of this conversation, but very much.
Playoff success.
Everyone's in a good mood.
Success leads to playoff sex.
Is it a better time to be on the apps if the Royals are in the playoffs? Everyone's just feeling good?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, people are in good moods. I think you just go out to the bar in that case.
Yeah.
I don't
catch someone in the wild.
I don't think you hop on the app during the playoff run necessarily.
Catch someone in the wild. I think that's hilarious. You said that.
All right, up next, we'll get to something that Major League Baseball looks like is going to implement next year, and we've witnessed it a couple times in a few cities recently. We'll explain what that is, and tonight we get an NBA Finals. I know Drew's fired up, although it's NBA Finals game one day, and Drew is wearing a Missouri Tigers shirt, not his Pacers shirt. I'm confused. We'll get to this on the other side.
Think of
your reasoning, and then I got to hear it next. Back here on Cody and Gold. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday. Reminder, Vern's On Deck show is 1 hour from now. We get two baseball games today. Two chances for the Royals to get a win. Two chances for Jack Caglione, or two games at least, for him to get his first hit. Maybe 9 or 10 at-bats today. All of a sudden, could be just completely different view. You know, he could end up with 4 or 5 hits today. It could happen just like that for Caglione and his big league opportunities today as the Royals would like to obviously get a couple wins today and then feel really good heading into a Chicago White Sox series. And they could return home on Tuesday against the Yankees with multiple wins in their back pocket. And all of a sudden, Tuesday night could be really, really special against the Yankees at Kauffman Stadium. It's not sold out yet for those that were asking about tickets for Cags's home debut. Tickets are still out there.
Okay.
Hopefully they get over 30,000.
I would think it's going to be a pretty good size crowd. It is still Tuesday night.
It is.
So, like, that's always going to
come with a little bit of an issue. I don't know what the weather's like or any of that. It's too far out to look, but
people said, you're just going to glaze over Drew's beat there? I'm assuming that was one of your beats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My apologies. I'm
trying to decide how I feel about it.
Can you pot it back up for a second?
Yeah, let me hear it again for just a second.
Yeah.
How do you envision someone singing over the top of this or rapping over the top of this?
Well, it would have to be changed. The levels would have to be changed for you to rap over it.
Why?
Because the beat, so in when you make an instrumental, like it's, if you make a beat, it's not meant to have somebody rap over it necessarily.
So
like
you, the way made, that you made this how long ago?
This one is probably a year ago.
I mean, I don't mind it for bumper music.
I want to hear the next one.
I don't mind
this
it for bumper music.
This isn't the one I'm willing to rap over. Give me the next one.
I don't mind it for bumper music, though. We're playing, you know, licensed bumper music. We can't have songs and stuff anymore now. So I if this is bumper music, I can go with that. I'm trying to this seems like, I'm trying to think the right word to use, though. But I like the style of it. I don't know. It feels, it,
it's something that you just kind of, that you just, to me, it's like something that you vibe to. Like you wouldn't. I don't picture you rapping over this either, Cody.
That's not the right one. Does the next one have a better, is it a little more tempo? Does it have, okay, we'll hear the next one. You know
what? Here, I'll
be surprised. You're going to get another one from me right now?
If you want one,
let me hear one more right now. You know, we got a day game. We're off in an hour. let me hear another beat.
Hang on a second. Let me pull it up.
Because now I'm curious, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one felt like I was playing an SNES like RPG game. And that's the thing that happens when you go into the cave.
This stuff feels more like a rap. You're going to have a rap over this.
Yeah,
you're going to rap over this.
Yeah, this way more sounds
like
it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's like, oh! Starts going.
Yeah, there's a little a riser.
Yeah, this would be more, yeah.
Yeah, this is way more. This is way better.
Okay.
The first
How
one.
How long does this beat go on for?
The first one.
This
other,
one's 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
All right. Because the first one, other than it repeating as often as it did, I was like, I feel like I'm walking into an office or a restaurant and the other one's playing or something.
Yeah.
Although it repeats too much. This is something where, yeah, Cody would just, you know, you could rap over this. Someone says this music gives off the perfect ambiance. Like, Drew, now, because we cannot play licensed stuff, I think you
just
should just
custom beats from
just
Drew.
Custom beats coming back from break. Yep. I think that's what we need to have now.
All right, that one. Because
we can't have like Taylor Swift bumping it anymore.
I should get some sort of like customization. You're listening to Cody and Gold.
I can't believe corporate's holding us down, okay? Holding us down. Won't let us play real music anymore.
Someone says that's porn music, Drew.
That is,
someone says
no,
not
it's
a bad
not.
Beat.
The first one, the second one definitely was
sounds
not.
Sounds like a Japanese water garden rap beat. Someone just like.
Okay, so I was trying to think of the right. It definitely feels like.
Sounds like I feel like it's a Super Nintendo beat. Like I'm playing F-Zero.
Mm. Okay.
That's what it feels like to me. But also, I guess I don't just listen to beats on their own very often. Normally, there's people like singing or rapping over things I'm listening to.
Someone says 80. Yeah, okay. Video game loading screen. Mm. Multiple things. Okay. All right, Drew. Think about what you could do if you got what you wanted.
I wanted the beat machine.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you could do if you got one of those.
I mean, I wouldn't be Metro Boomin, but I would be on the pathway to be getting there.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about baseball and what's going to happen next year. It sure seems like this is going to be a real thing. Rob Manfred, according to The Athletic, has said that Major League Baseball is going to propose the Automated Ball Strikes Challenge System, or ABS, for use at the big league level as soon as next season. They got to get it voted on. It looks like they have the votes. We know they've been testing this in the minors. We just saw this in AAA this past weekend. I was in Omaha, and there were four challenges in the game on Friday night, and every single challenge was not overturned, meaning like the ump was correct every single time, which was funny. So, you know, the ump was feeling good, but it takes 5 seconds. It's so simple. You know, MJ Melendez is in the batter's box there in AAA.
He taps
on his helmet. Real quick on the video board, it says challenge. Then it shows the K zone on the video board. Confirmed strike. That's it. The ump says the call is confirmed. It's a strike. And the count is blah, 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 blah.
Takes two seconds.
It's a 5 to 10 second ordeal. It's great. I love it. It creates some new drama. It also sets up a little bit of the friction maybe with the umpires. You have the criticism that will come, I'm sure. Like, why did you use your challenge this early in the game? Imagine Vern's post-game show. You know the calls he gets.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they use their challenge in the fifth inning? They should have saved it for the bottom of the ninth. Oh, it's going to make the game another layer to it more entertaining. And it doesn't extend the life or the length, I should say, of the game at all.
Now, I will say I would be in favor of just like going full in and just saying you never have to call balls and strikes, and we'll just let the thing that gets the calls right, get them right all the time. But this does add a layer. I'll say, by doing it this way, you add an entire extra layer of intrigue because you've added a whole new layer of strategy. Like, for instance, if I'm a coach, if you're a 310 on base guy, you better not touch your helmet. This better be the eighth inning with the bases loaded on a strike three call, because if it's not that, and you're a career 310 on base guy, I better sure as hell not see that. Like, you almost have to reserve it for your superstars in the early innings. Vinny, Bobby, it's got to be like the big name guys early on. And you almost can't be like, don't even bother challenging a call unless, again, it's bases loaded with two outs in the third inning and that was going to walk in a run. It better be sure it was scoring a run almost in order to do it. I also like that it creates friction. Because, Gold, you saw it this weekend firsthand. The first time an ump gets challenged 3-4 times in a game and he's right on all four, he is going to let the players have it if they challenge a call. If they don't challenge one. If they complain about a call in the ninth inning that they thought was a ball and they'd already challenged four times and they're out and they're like, come on! Be like,
yeah,
I was right the other times, jerk. And it, the same goes vice versa. Like, the players be like, we already had a challenge four. You've been wrong on all four. Now you're calling this one a ball too? And some people are going to get ejected because of it.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, and someone's asking, is it just for batters? No, the batter, the catcher, or the pitcher, everybody on the field, you know, or not everybody, but those guys involved in that sequence, they can all do the challenge. The challenge is not something that comes from the manager or whatever. This is the pitcher. It's because it's got to be quick, right?
Yeah, I think it is two challenges per batter, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Still, don't waste it unless it's late.
Yeah, and they can tweak this a little bit, but only the batter, pitcher, and catcher are allowed to challenge the call. And then a team retains its challenge indefinitely if successful. That's what they're using in the AAA level. I don't know if they'll mimic the exact same thing in the big leagues. I would think so, but I enjoyed it. And it's one of those things, if you're having a conversation with you know, your buddy in the stands and you're not like locked in, you might look up and be like, wait, what happened? That's how quick
that's
it is.
That's how you want it to be. Like, yes. Eagle eye for the tennis match. Maybe I notice it a little bit more in the baseball senses and they're going to pull back the replay pretty quick, but we already see that anyway on close calls. I don't want it to be gold. I don't want it to be like the focus of the thing. I just want the call right. This sounds so silly, but like, that's the whole point of like, this is where I think the NFL has failed us, where like, I have to get a review system in the NFL and I'm never even sure if they got it right in the entire review system. This is black or white.
Yeah, it's very quick. Someone's asking about how many challenges, as you were saying. It depends what MLB implements. So, right, yeah. When they tested it in spring training, because they did it, they just used this in spring training as well. At that time, each team started the game with two challenges.
Team.
That's a team.
Yeah.
And unless I was way off base, what
in
I saw...
In the early minors, they were doing it more as like individual players, but now they've reduced it to team.
Yeah, when I was in Omaha, on the scoreboard, it shows... Like, has like the little, you know, like circle. One's filled in, one's not, right, to signify if it's been used or
got
not.
And there were
four.
What are they going to do at Fenway where they've already got?
I don't know.
That's
something
built
new,
in.
Man. They got to add something new. But yeah, it was in AAA at least. It was four total challenges in the entire game.
You said you watched a game where he went over. The players went over.
I believe Friday night was 0-4 or 0-3. Yeah, it was funny because like, that's right, ump. You're like, tell him. You tell him.
The people this helps.
Ump was correct.
This is a massive benefit to, I think this is a big benefit to two Royals players in particular when they implement this. One is Salvador Perez, because of all the pitch framing stats and all the other stuff that he's been dinged on over all these years, Salvi's seen enough pitches to know if something's a strike. And so I think he can take advantage of knowing when they're hurting him in that department because of pitch framing or the other stuff that kind of dings him. And the other guy is Vinny Pasquantino, who I think gets more outside strike calls against him than a guy who knows the zone as well as he does should. Mm-hmm. I think he knows the zone better than the umpire does right now. And because he's not an established superstar with a 370 on base percentage, they don't give him the same benefit of the doubt on the edge as they do for guys like Aaron Judge or these other guys who know the zone well. I think he gets hurt more than anyone else on the team on outside of the zone pitches. Like, they don't actually believe that he knows where it is. I think he'll benefit pretty much a lot from it. The problem is that if you're only getting two per team, you shouldn't even touch your helmet till at least the fifth inning unless it's a massive bases loaded situation. Other than that, Gold, and again, this is where I'm going to be kind of tough. I'm not going to want the players who strike out or don't walk a lot.
Oh, early in the game, unless it's the late innings or it's a massive situation, I would almost say in the first 4 to 5 innings, The only people that can challenge, if they're going, it's got to be like the guys that I frankly trust a little bit more. It's got, you know, in this case, it's Bobby. It's, there's like two or three players.
And I don't want it to go from like a 2-2 count from a 3-1 count. Like, again, it's got to be like strikeouts. It's all strategy based. It's got to be the last strike of the at bat, right? It can't be that was going to make it 1-0 versus 0-1.
I would assume so. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the sequence.
Actually,
though.
The history, though, if you're down 0-1 or 0-2 versus 1-1.
I actually think, though, much more like I'm trying to think from Omaha, Cody. I believe the challenge was, yeah, it was on an 0-1 or it wasn't the final strikeout. Like it wasn't the challenge happened and they confirmed the guy was struck out every single time. I think sometimes it was in the middle of the count for this reason you brought up, which is that you're still wanting to have an advantageous count.
Yeah, and there's history tells you that you're much more likely to get a hit in that count versus keep yourself from striking
next
out.
Year, I think we're going to have this.
Do you guys think that, I think it would be too much, and it's not going to start out that way, it sounds like, but eventually where every player gets one challenge per game. I know you said it only takes 5 seconds.
I don't
need
that many challenges.
So, but I'm, because if it only takes 5 seconds, you're talking about 90 seconds added essentially to the game if each batter gets one challenge. Right?
I think it doesn't add any more than when they would have stepped outside the plate anyway.
So I want, like if you're Nick Lofton, it's like, hey man, I think that was a ball instead of a strike, and it's the fourth inning, and you want to use it there. That's your prerogative as the player to use it. You don't feel like you're wasting a team's challenge.
Here's
basically
a couple. One, I hear you, and I don't think it's as much of a timing thing as I also don't like. In general, there's still a human element to the game. Adding 4 challenges in the entire game is trying to correct that. I don't need every player to have a challenge. The other part would be, I would honestly really love to know. I know the ump has a lineup card and everything. That seems a little difficult to track if you're the ump to know who the hell still has a challenge left. We're talking about, it's not just 4. Yeah. All of a sudden you got 18 players. You got to keep an eye on. I know he could track it, but still, yeah, you'd have to like maybe double check.
You would just give more per team, I think, before you game to every player. I will.
Okay.
One thing when Drew said that, I immediately thought of Gold, that I got bad news for you on. For everyone who hates this, finger wag, review it in the booth. Gold. Do you know how many cuts are going to be? Do you know how many cuts is going to be to the dugout of every player going, come on, Blue, tapping their helmet? If you don't like the finger wag, you're probably going to start seeing you're going to start seeing baseball teams tap the side of their helmet and do that same thing. It's the same as like this. I think you might see it more.
In fairness to the umps, though, the one ump threw the guy out the other day who did it where NBA refs will just let it.
He did it because it also just doesn't exist in the big leagues yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But also, why toss him for that?
Well, he shouldn't have been tossed.
Sensitive little babies. Yeah. I can't say one little thing, touch my helmet one time, but you can like, hi-ya-ha! You can do a whole show to strike me out, but I can't.
What was that?
That was his strike echo. Hi-ya-ha! You know, whatever. They just say things. They don't even say strike out sometimes.
I know. So yeah, this.
But like, you could do whatever you want to put on this show to embarrass my ass, but I so much as touch my helmet, I get tossed from the game.
Yeah. No, he should never have been tossed, but that's the scenario that is, we're going to have
some. That wasn't my strikeout call when I umpired.
That wasn't, what was it?
It was more like King Griffey Jr. Super Nintendo than that. I think it was like, I said strike three when I did it. Now I got to remember. That sounds like the sound that Estevez made.
That's like get the save Dragon Ball Z type of stuff
what that is. It's been too long now. It's probably been 20 years, but I definitely said strike three when I did. I did do that though.
You like the hand motion.
Yeah, that was the motion for the strike.
Tonight, guys, NBA Finals, Game 1.
That's why you should watch the show on video, by the way.
Yeah,
YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook.
Facebook stream is up, YouTube, wherever. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the show. But tonight, Game 1, NBA Finals, Thunder, Pacers. This is why it drags out to like June 20th, because they have the spacing that they did in between days. We finally get it tonight. Drew is a Pacers fan. We know this. He said he's a diehard Pacers fan. We've questioned it. Today is Game 1 of the NBA Finals, maybe the biggest game in franchise history.
They've never won a final, right? They've never won an NBA championship?
And
nope.
You,
the one time they were in it, they lost to the Lakers. They lost to Kobe and Shaq in 5.
And you, today, have chosen to wear a Missouri Tigers shirt.
That's
explain.
Right.
What?
You
just told us last week that we shouldn't question your fandom. Today's the finals and you're wearing a Tigers shirt.
A couple days ago, I was here after the show was done, and I walked in after you guys were done to clean up the figurines. And Carrington, I was wearing an Iowa State shirt that day. Carrington goes, how many colleges do you root for? I was like, I was like, I don't root for Iowa State, but I like college apparel. I collect college memorabilia. So I have an Iowa State shirt. And I was like, you know what? Next time you're here, I'll wear a Missouri shirt just for you. He goes, thank you. I appreciate that. of course, I
not on game
I was
one,
on my
man.
Way here when I then remembered, oh yeah, it's a 2-hour show. I'm probably not going to see Carrington today.
No, I don't know. Is he here? I don't know. I'm not sure if he's here today.
If
anyway,
he's even,
but,
if I don't know. I mean, with the doubleheader,
he was gone yesterday, yeah. Right?
He was gone yesterday,
correct. Which is why I didn't wear it yesterday.
I think you got to rock your Pacers. This is your time. This is all about the Pacers right now for you.
Yeah.
And then it's a Missouri Tigers shirt anyway.
I mean, look, I can still root for a team regardless of the apparel I wear. Like, I don't wear.
K-State fans are saying they're disowning you now. When you first moved here,
we made you audition for a team. You chose a team.
We three options you had, KU, K-State, Missouri, when you first started on the show, and you chose to be a Kansas State supporter, and now you've worn Missouri Tigers gear, KU gear. You're not with anybody anymore, it sounds like.
In fairness, I'd like to keep it unbiased where regarding the podcast. You know, I don't want
for the
anybody
locals.
Thinking,
he likes to create.
So if I wear a Missouri State shirt, heaven forbid, I don't.
So have you worn a shirt for all the locals now? Because we got you a K-State shirt.
Correct. I've
seen you at least in a photo with the baby Jayhawk. So I know that.
Deep down, I know where Drew lies. Yeah, deep down, I understand. Yeah.
Do you own a Kansas shirt?
I do.
Okay.
Deep down, we've also figured out, based on NFL fandom as well, you usually like to root for the team that just has painful losses and doesn't
apparently
win a lot. It makes sense.
Another sign that Drew's not really a Pacers fan, as I've been advocating on the show. He doesn't even know how many games they played in the finals the last time they were there.
Five.
They lost in six.
Did they really?
Oh, boy.
That's tough.
How many games did the Royals lose in the World Series in 2014?
In 14?
How many games did it take in 14?
I don't have that memorized.
Oh, see, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
In 14, you don't know?
That's
seven.
Recent.
It was game seven. They lost in game seven, and it was against the Giants.
I was really concerned. I was like, Drew, Alex knows this.
Yeah.
It was being put on the spot. Puts a lot of pressure on.
Yeah.
But then you're like, game seven. I think fans would know that. You know how many games it took. You know what game. Yeah, I bet you know every
York,
game
yeah.
Cincinnati lost. Like
last year? No.
No. They didn't go to the playoffs last year.
Okay.
But the last time they were in the playoffs, what game did they lose in?
The AFC title game.
Okay. The year before that, what game did they lose in?
That you got to go back a ways. That was the Pittsburgh Steelers game in 2015, I think.
I don't know, man.
When A.J. McCarron was quarterbacking.
Someone's just giving you a hard time. They're like, your fandom makes no sense. We've talked about that in the show. You're just all over the...
Technicality,
do you think they're winning tonight? Are you guys excited for the finals? Does it intrigue you enough to watch?
Massive favorite. I'm excited for game one at the possibility that there could be an upset and the Pacers make this a series. I am fearful that
it's a sweep.
I am fearful that if the Thunder win tonight, this is 4 or 5 games.
If it was the Knicks, it would be a sweep.
Wow, you think it's a sweep?
I think the Pacers match up better to the Thunder than the Knicks would have.
I don't think
However,
this is a sweep. I think we get six. I really do.
I think it goes 6 games as well. I think the Thunder probably win tonight.
I think the
Pacers take one of the games in OKC.
I think it goes 5. Maybe I'm just way underestimating the Pacers. The Thunder has just been the best team all year. They're
correct.
Just embarrassed.
Look, the favorite is 5-game series plus 205. 6 games is plus 270. If it's a 4 games, so it's a sweep, plus 290. And if it goes 7, it's plus 370. So the favorite is that it's a 5-game series, which the gentleman's sweep, you know, makes sense that would have the.
I think that if.
I guess I'm right there with the favorite.
You think the Thunder win both of the games in OKC then, and then maybe the Pacers get.
I think the Pacers get one in Indy, and then it's just kind of done.
All right. I thought
the Pacers were really helped in the Knicks series by the normal sports adage. Styles make fights, and I think the Knicks roster was really ill-equipped to handle the way the Pacers play and the style of play. I don't think that's going to be a problem for the Thunder. I don't think the style of play for the Pacers is an issue for the Thunder.
It's going to be interesting to see how, because I think these are the two best teams since the All-Star break in the NBA.
Yeah.
Just in its entirety. Number one offense, number one defense. I think Miles Turner is going to have himself a series if the Pacers are going to win. But yeah, all of the matchup stuff I'm really fascinated by. All I got, like Haliburton said this after the Knicks series. I'm going to say the same thing. Stephen A., Chalamet, have it your way. Pacers in 6.
Oh, for your sake.
If the Pacers do win, by the way, I don't know when exactly. It depends on when it ends.
You think you're going to go to the parade?
I think I'm going to go to the parade.
Nice.
It's going to be a madhouse in downtown Indianapolis. It's going to be gridlocked for
So you'll drive to Indy. You would drive to Indy just for the parade.
I would drive to Indy just for the parade, yes.
Would that confirm his fandom for you, Cody?
If he goes to a parade out of town, yeah, I think so.
I'd probably have to drive overnight now that I'm thinking about it, because I'm guessing that parade would be in the morning. That'd have to be, I get done with the show and I haul it home.
Yeah. Just take a day or two off.
Just take the day. Yeah. It's fine.
And go to the parade if it happens. I don't think... Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to have to worry about that, because I do think the Thunder...
If UMKC ever wins a national championship, I'll be taking a few days off for the parade, you know?
If UMKC wins a national championship,
the
world is ending at that point. Come on now.
In fairness...
How about just attorney berth?
I know. That's what I want, man. I might take a day off for that. I told you, I'm going.
So yeah. Somebody did mention that. I did get that. I got the Bengals thing wrong, Cody. Somebody said, Drew, you forgot the Bengals lost in the Super Bowl. That's correct.
Now, that one would be one you probably should forget about. Those are painful. We like to erase those, too.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to forget that the Chiefs got blown out.
Y'all need to relax. All 15 people in Indy would go crazy at the parade. You got to chill, man. There's more people in Indiana than there are in Oklahoma. Chill out. Or in Oklahoma City. There's more in Indy than there are in Oklahoma City.
These are like
relax.
The two smallest markets playing each other in the NBA Finals. I'm
if you
curious
like
what
basketball,
the ratings
though, will be. If you like basketball, the ratings are going to suck. But if you like basketball, and you did, this is your favorite matchup. This should be the one you wanted.
All right, up next, let's get to the 11 o'clock hour. Something opened up yesterday for the first time in 2025, at least when it comes to baseball. We'll explain what that is, what it means over the next month or so for fans. And we'll get to the trash of the day right here on Cody and Gold. It's another Drew beat, actually created by our producer, Drew Nixon. Turns out he's been making these for years. We found this all out together on air.
This one's from... Probably 2017.
Oh, wait, whoa.
Got a change up. I'm trying to take it in, you know?
This feels like this would be in a cheesy Hallmark movie in one scene. That's what this now... Now I'm feeling this is like, now it feels a little holiday-ish.
What was it? The air horn? I didn't like the air horn.
Oh, he's out on the air horn.
It felt... Well, it was just one.
Back here, 11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold.
The second one was the one that
Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, we will hand things off to Vern, his On Deck show. Doubleheader action today as the Royals will continue their series against the Cardinals. Jack Caglione searching for hit number one. The Royals are going to have the same, I would think, lineup for the first game as they announced for last night based on the pitching matchup being the same. I haven't seen it, actually. I'm assuming the lineup's got to be out here very shortly, if not already. Noah Cameron is going to get the nod for this first game, which was going to be the case yesterday before the rain. They had a lot of severe weather in St. Louis last night, so things got bumped. I would imagine if you're Cags, you're like, man, I got to wait another day. And the lineup is out, by the way. India leading off, then Bobby Garcia, Pasquantino, Perez, Caglione. He is playing right field, which we knew that heading into last night. And then Waters, Massey, Isbell. So, yeah, I think that's the exact same lineup.
I guess the question is, does he get both games in right field today?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or do they give him a DH day and the second day? Hmm. Typically, I would guess he plays right field both, because typically on a double dip, Salvador Perez will be DHing in game two, and they won't risk taking his bat out of the lineup. Freddie Fermin will catch, and Jack will have to be out and ride for both.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. They also made a roster move today. We all know you're able to add that 27th man. This one's interesting. So Andrew Hoffman got option at AAA, but he's already been with the team. And so he's added as the 27th man. He's already there. So
he's been optioned. They're like, you're going to AAA. You can stay for today.
Yeah. So he's optioned, but he's the 27th man, but he was already with the team. Not to confuse anybody, you know. And then Thomas Hatch has been selected from AAA Omaha. He will actually be with the team when they go to Chicago as well. And then Hunter Harvey, unfortunate news here. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to pitch for the Royals again. Transfer the 60-day injured list, I think, unfortunately. That's going to be one of those trades that ended up not working out.
Yeah, that's just going to go down as a whiff. I honestly...
It's going to stay healthy, man.
If you ask me right now, I would tell you that I do not think he ever plays for the Royals.
Well, his contract's up at the end of this year, now he's on a 6-day list. It's June 5th.
However many innings you got from him last year before he got hurt, that's probably it. We were mentioning, I just want to get to this now, since we were mentioning the Pacers and we were talking about all this other stuff. Uh-huh. I know that, I'm sure this has been talked about a lot in the betting community, Gold, with you. Obviously, people have been, I'm sure, following the story that there's a kid right now who has a bet that was a long shot parlay of a $13 bet of... And look, the truth is, you're talking about, and he's got two teams remaining. It is the Oilers to win their series, who won game one last night, and the Thunder, who you were just talking about, to win theirs. The Liberty already won the NBA title. The Eagles already won the Super Bowl, and the Dodgers won the World Series, the first three legs of his bet. If he won all five legs, he will turn $13 into over
$270,000.
$70,000.
Yeah, and so when the Oilers won in overtime last night with 30 seconds to go and left in overtime, that was a huge deal for him.
It was. Because he had a buyout option of $97,000, and now he has a buyout option in the $120,000 range.
Yeah.
He looks like he's 22 years old. And I get it. He was last night out on the street saying this. Well, maybe. Doesn't seem like it wants to save.
All right. We got an updated cash out offer. Are we considering it? Are we taking it? How are we feeling?
Bro, we're riding. We're going the whole distance. I've said it from the beginning. 100K, I don't care. We're going the whole way. You saw that team. Unbeatable.
This...
I won't come back to that.
I want to be very clear.
I don't care, man. I don't care.
There are two things about this that stand out to me. One is, I am actively rooting against
this
idiot.
Why are you rooting against him?
Actively rooting against him. I hope he loses every dime, this idiot. Okay. Because he has $120,000 in the bank right now. Over a $13 bet, and the braggadocious nature of it has me sick. The second part hit me today, and I'll say this is from the parenting end. If this was my kid, two things would be happening. One, I would be actively advising him to take the cash. It was $13. Are you insane? But I'll tell you right now, I'm threatening all of it. If I pay his cell phone bill, if I help with tuition, if I buy him dinner when we go out to eat, that's all done unless you take the cash out offer. You're cut off of all of these things unless you figure this out. And I don't know if his brain's not fully developed yet because he's in his early 20s or what the hell this kid's problem is. You have to take the cash out. It is beyond idiotic to not take the cash out. It is reprehensible almost for a $13 bet. He can take $20,000 out and just bet the Thunder and Oilers in a parlay again to win it all if he wants to just see the rest of this play out. He has to take the cash. It's crazy. Crazy.
So I'm not rooting for him to lose all of it the way you apparently are. However, I am with you on this. $13 and now you have $123,000 cash out offer, and then you're out here, and he's getting a ton of attention, so I think that's also why he hasn't cashed out, because I think he's enjoying everybody wanting to talk about him. So I think that's part of the issue he's having with this. And now that he's seen a cash out offer for $123,000, let's say the Pacers were to somehow win tonight, game one. That cash out offer might drop down to $100,000. You're like, oh, what's the problem with that? Well, I don't think he'll cash out at $100,000 because he once already saw the $123,000 and now that's not good enough for him.
Yeah.
He also once said that once I get to $100,000, then I'll stop, and he hasn't. So I think it's a mistake not to cash out. Maybe you wait to see what happens tonight. If the Thunder win tonight.
But the Thunder are like -700, -800 to win the series. They're huge. $5,000?
So if the Thunder win tonight, maybe he makes an extra $5,000 and cashes out. But based on what he said, he's not going to do that. I think it's a massive mistake for him. He could literally, even after taxes, he could pocket, let's say, $60,000 to $65,000. And given his age, he could set himself up very nicely to kickstart his future in a very, very nice way. He's never going to be in a position where he has a chance to cash out on $123,000 again.
Thunder's not even the hardest part. Probably the NHL one is probably the one.
But
they blew the series last year to the Panthers.
You should not be rooting for him to lose it all. That's messed up. Come on.
Someone says if he stays and wins and he possibly gets a movie deal about it. No, he doesn't. 10 bets a year get one that are like this and get cashed out like this. It happens because for the 2 million of these bets that don't happen every year, there's a story like this every year. And most of the time they do the smart, prudent thing. And that's the other part. It's like, it's life-changing money at that age. Fine, if you're already super rich and you're 55 and you've already got your 401k fully funded and you're feeling good and you just want to ride this thing out, fine. At 22 or whatever this kid is years old, man, that's a life.
Here's the current odds for the
amount
of money. Edmonton is -225 to win the series now because they won last night. And as you said, on the NBA side of things, the Thunder at this point to win the NBA Finals are -700. And so the cash out, you know, if I were him at this point, you had $13, you've turned in $123,000. You cash out, you put X amount
into your bank account. And then you say, you know what? I'll even have some fun money. I'll take 10 to 20,000, and then I can use that, and that can still be your gambling money. But at least you know you have, after taxes, lock in like 50,000 of it. Let's say you lock in 50,000 of it after taxes. That's, you're just going to keep no matter what. You can't lose it.
You're going to start the next stage. You're like,
can you imagine? I understand they're massive favorites. But like, the worry is, let's say the Pacers win tonight, and then the Florida Panthers win tomorrow night. And so the series is 1-1 in the hockey game, and it's 1-0 Pacers in the other one. That cash out offer is going to be below 100,000. So he would have cost himself.
And he
said
he won 100,000, and now he's having fun with his boys, and they're making shirts, and he doesn't want to lose the good times.
He said F the 100. No, can you imagine if it's
F the 100? That's why I'm rooting against him. I'm sorry. If you ever in your sentence say F the $100,000, I'm actively rooting against you in life. That's a ludicrous statement. When you're 22 years old, your parents probably bought all the clothes you ever wore in your entire life, and you're just like, screw the $100,000. Like, nah. That reeks of rich kid. And I don't know that he is, but it reeks of it.
It reeks of
your parents bought you a car when you were 16 and it was brand new and life's good. That's what it reeks of.
And I'm typically let it ride, don't cash out, you made the bet to win the bet kind of thing, but not when it's been an 8-month long process and you turn 13 into 123,000 already.
So what's the stress level? Let's say the Thunder, I don't want to admit it, but let's say the Thunder go ahead and win it, but it's game 7, Panthers Oilers. You either win nothing or you win 270 grand.
And then, well, I guess you can't hedge because I'm in it for the game. We're doing it to the end. You know, like, Cody's, I can't hedge.
Cody doesn't like this guy.
No, I don't. I don't like the way he's talking about this bet. And I think it's financially
he's
irresponsible.
He's like a 22-year-old kid. He's a 22-year-old kid. Of course he may not be making the smartest decision.
I couldn't imagine the stress level knowing if you went through it and it was game 7, zero or 270 grand. I couldn't. If you lost it, I would be so. I would get sick right away.
Is he willing to hedge? Is the question. Like, is he willing to hedge at some point?
And he said we're into the end.
It doesn't sound like it. Yeah.
No, that's the thing. Because you could just say the Thunders are going to win their series, and if this other one gets dicey, I can either take the cash out or I can borrow against to essentially hedge big. But
we'll keep an eye on this. So
$25,000.
I think you're right, though. I think this kid. You're right. I think that this kid got everything he wanted.
I think he's
up
a silver spinner. I don't know that as a fact, but I absolutely think he is.
Hang on. I'm not rooting for the kid to lose, but I think Cody is spot on in regards to the way that he's. There are people who I know, who I have friends who went to some of these schools, Cody. I did not go to one of these places, thank God. But I know Carmel, Indiana. This kid would have been.
He would have gone to
Carmel High School in Indianapolis.
You're like a Benz.
He bet $13. And now he's turning down at this point a cash up for 123. You guys are acting like this.
That's the part that kills me the most.
I agree.
Investment is nothing.
He should cash out. But saying he's like spoiled or whatever, I push back on that. We don't know anything.
We don't know anything about this kid.
But also, he bet 13. If he would have bet 1,000 as a 21-year-old, then I'd be like, okay, where does he getting his money from? Kind of thing. He bet $13. He's gotten very lucky. It's all come together. He's with his friends. He's having an unbelievable opportunity. Hopefully he doesn't squander it by screwing it up, but he's enjoying the attention. He's 22. He's going to find out one way or the other. Either he makes the biggest mistake of his life, or he's going to be on an unbelievable high for the rest of his life. I don't know.
This is where the 13 came from. It came from the 990 from the $987 he lost already in FanDuel. Then he posted the 13 he had left. That's where this is coming from.
I guess here's the part. Like, this is where differences is. Gold, I got to be honest, man. Like, if I bet $13 after let's just say I made it to the three.
Oh, yeah.
The second, when the cash out offer hit 5K, I'd have been out.
Probably.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. If I had bet $13 and the first two legs hit and they're like, hey, there's still three more legs to go on this bad boy and we'll give you 5K, I'd have probably taken the five.
Like, a lot of people would.
And I understand that you'd be like, well, you would have lost out on 115 grand that way.
Sick to your stomach.
If you just hadn't done it. I mean,
I'm convinced that if I had,
I probably would have done a parlay for like a grand for the other three and saw where that got me. Go, like, it's the same thing. I'd have hedged more than once.
Cody, I don't know if your wife would do this. I'm convinced that if my wife knew that there was 123 grand on the table, she would when I'm asleep, she'd grab my phone, Face ID, and then cash out for me.
Oh yeah, if I had told my wife I'm not cashing out on this, we might get divorced. We might genuinely get divorced over that financial decision. And the text was like, queer. Cody wants this guy to buy a house like he wanted you with a Caitlin Cartwright.
Yeah.
Yes. I want that kid to take $100,000 and invest it in an account. And I kind of agree with the text line. He might be a millionaire by the time he's 50 if he just never even spends it. Never touches it. You can set yourself up. You can, he's like, he can enjoy his life. He can take his friends to Italy 10 years from now if he wants on this cash.
I don't disagree.
It's crazy.
I don't disagree. We're all on the same page in terms of he should cash out. I disagree on some of the other stuff. I also think
I'm also making some wild accusations about his personal
life. If we're being 100% honest with ourselves, I also think it is still so much easier to say cash out when we're not the person that has it right there and believes in the bet and thinks, oh, wow, I could have a.
You're right.
It is so. I'm with you guys. I just think it is way easier. Right now, if you had that phone and you could push a button to lock in 123, you're saying I would do it. But if you were in the moment and you just saw the Oilers win, and you know the Thunder are probably going to win their series, and you know that it's your original bet for 200, whatever, I think it's way easier said than done.
I think it depends on his financial situation. Like for me, college debt.
That's the other part that makes me think maybe he came for money.
I would have everything paid off, and I would be set with money afterwards. I would be debt-free with $123,000.
Debt-free coming out of college? I mean,
I'm not even 30 yet, and I'd be debt-free. That's great compared to some of my friends who are not going to be debt-free when they hit 30 or 40.
Very few are. Either way, someone asked for the bet again. He already hit Liberty to win the WNBA title, the Dodgers to win the World Series, the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. He now has the Oilers left to win the Stanley Cup and the Thunder left to win the NBA Finals. The Oilers got game one in the Stanley Cup Finals last night. Game one in the NBA Finals is tonight. Thunder are heavy favorites, one of the biggest favorites in NBA history, to win their series against the Pacers, but we don't know if they will. And the Oilers played this same team in the finals last year and lost in seven, didn't they? They blew the series.
Yes, it was.
They lost in seven.
I think
seven.
It was seven, yes.
I just can't imagine if it came down to game seven of the NHL and you don't hedge. And you have the same energy in game seven.
His
energy
could change. Last night, it's going to go seven.
His energy is just because he's a. I keep saying 22. I don't even know if he's 22. Yeah. It's because he's a kid. He's with his friends and he's enjoying the moment. I don't think it means he's like some rich, entitled kid. Come on.
I don't know. That's the energy I think he's giving off, is what I'm here to say.
It is an unfair
assumption.
That's
definitely his energy. I'm just saying, like, at that age, at 22 years old, is there a massive life-altering difference between $123,000 and $270,000? And my answer is no, there's not, so just take the money. You're 22 years old.
I don't disagree.
That is life-altering either way. It is not life-altering in a giant. If it were $600,000, I might be having a different energy day. I might be having a different conversation about whether he should take the cash out or not. But the difference between 123 and 270 for him at this age.
You're saying if you were his parents, you would have a conversation.
I'm threatened. Like, if I'm paying his cell phone bill, he has to take the cash out. Or you're on your... Call up Verizon. You're off the plan. No more family plan for you unless you're taking this cash out.
He's going to disown his kid.
Like, we got to talk about the fight. If you can just risk $123,000, then you can get your own unlimited data plan. You don't need me for that. Okay?
Someone says he's a leader, not a follower.
That's right.
All right. We're going to get things off to Vern in about 10 minutes or so. Yesterday, it's that time of the year in the baseball season where already the All-Star voting is open. Did you see that? It opened up yesterday. And no, I don't think you can just select CAG's name. I think you have to wait on that one. I don't think he's eligible.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But who is going to represent the Royals at this point in time, this early? I think there's a couple
Bubich
names that are
lock,
obvious.
Right? Chris at Bubich, the moment, if it started today.
I think Chris Bubich. And then my guy. Carlos Estevez. He is tied for the most saves in the American League. He's on pace for a career high in saves. I think Carlos deserves a look. I think Carlos deserves a strong look as the American League reliever.
Where is he amongst saves leaders in Major League Baseball?
Well, Suarez, I think, with the Padres, is the leader in all baseball. Only reason why I know that, you guys care so much. I have both Estevez and Suarez in my fantasy baseball team. I know you guys care so much.
They're number one and two.
Perfect.
Actually, Suarez is number one at 19 on the NL side. He is number one in the American League. He's tied with Munoz from the Seattle Mariners. Quite a bit of competition. Hader's got 16. Munoz and Estevez both have 17.
He's right there,
Cleveland,
man.
Ray with Class
A, 1.71 out of the save leaders in baseball. Out of all
of course,
the save
whips way higher than all these other guys who are having success saving games.
Yeah, I think out of all the save leaders, I think he has one of the lowest ERAs as well. I mean, it's below two. So, yeah, I think Carlos has a real shot. I would be voting for Carlos, and I'd be voting for Chris Bubich right now. As far as position players, Mikel's just not going to get it. It's going to be really tough at his
Bobby, too,
Yeah.
Bobby's still, like, for shortstop, he's still the best shortstop in the American League, and he's the best shortstop in baseball.
Get?
Okay, so I think Bobby, because he's a superstar and people will vote for him, gets in. I think Chris Bubich, based on the year he's having, I'd be stunned if at the very, if for some reason he didn't even get the votes. He's definitely going to be the manager's selection. So Bubich is in, Bobby is in. I think Estevez misses because I just don't think he's a household name.
Okay.
So even being the saves leader in the American League doesn't get him. I think it's just those two. I don't even think Salvi this year, because of the down offensive year, I don't think he's getting the courtesy nod.
But you think, like you mentioned, somebody's going to be the, I mean, we also know Carlos doesn't have to be the closer in the All-Star
maybe
game.
Maybe he's the manager's pick too.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe he's the manager's pick.
I don't know.
Okay. So three, I think they have three All-Stars.
Yeah.
What about Mikel Garcia? He doesn't deserve.
Well, there's always guys that should be that don't get in. You just have, you know, the Royals aren't getting six All-Stars.
I know, but he's got one of the five best batting averages in all of the American League. He's got one of the top 10 averages in the entire sport.
Could it be an alternate? What position is he playing in the All-Star?
I think it ends up being three. I think Estevez or Mikel gets left out.
Yeah.
Because there's just too many other. The power numbers work against Mikel Garcia and some of these other things. But the manager selections, I think, do have a chance to do it.
Someone says they wrote in Caglione for DH. You can do that. Yet to get a big league hit. Go ahead and put in the All-Star ballot. You haven't got a big league hit yet. Put in the All-Star ballot. Someone says Salvi is second in hits and first in doubles in it for AL catchers. He would be getting it off a name more than anything else if he gets
which happens in the All-Star game. Less now that the metrics are also a part of the voting, but certainly that.
Are we going to stuff the ballot?
Someone's just asking if we can get Cags in the Derby, you know?
Be incredible. He's got it. I mean, let's get the first hit out of the way today.
Get the first home run out of the way,
Let's get the first hit and then a first home run out of the way.
I did bet him to hit a home run today.
I'll be on with Vern for his pregame show. We're going to hand things off to him. Couple bets. They're Cags bets. Spoiler.
If he's a homer in the first game, I'm going to bet him to hit one in the second. I'm going to take some of those winnings and bet him to hit it in the second game, too.
Oh, okay. The kid you were just criticizing. You're not going to pocket the money.
I am going to pocket some.
You're not going to pocket the money.
I'm going to pocket some.
Uh-huh. All right.
Someone said he bet it for the Eagles. That was the second they were out.
All right. Hand things off to Vern. His on-deck show. The Royals are playing two today on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.